All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Sunday School. Welcome back, some of y'all. Good morning. We are in, where are we at, Laura? Where are we at this morning? Almost, Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Verse 31. Matthew 13:31. This is a parable of the mustard seed. Two verses, and I hope all y'all had your coffee. Hope you got your brains are functioning. Oh, there you go. And I give y'all a little pop quiz this morning, but we'll have to look at some verses. I know, yeah, school doesn't start for a couple more weeks, but this is Sunday school. Matthew 13, verse 31, another parable, put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. All right, question. What is the comparison in the parable? There's a comparison. It's the size of it. Yeah, the least. Well, I mean, yeah, the least to the greatest. That's the comparison. Least to greatest. It may have to do with size. It has to do with size here. Look at this one. Look in Mark chapter 4, verse 30. Mark chapter 4, verse 30. And 31. Mark chapter 4, verse 30. So Matthew, he said, kingdom of heaven. Here he's going to say kingdom of God. So that's not going to be a significant distinction in these two. Mark chapter 4, verse 30. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. All right, what's the comparison there? Less, yeah, lesser or greater. Starts out less, it becomes greater. One more time, Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. So something is least, it becomes greatest. Something is lesser, it becomes greater or greatest. Luke 13, verse 18. Luke 13, 18 says, then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like? Whereunto shall I resemble it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. All right, so here it is, another grain of mustard seed. He throws it in the garden, it grows, and it becomes a great tree. All right, so you have the same principle in every single parable. Something that is the least becomes the greatest. And he says, this mustard seed, this typology, this parallel, is like the kingdom of heaven, and it's like the kingdom of God. They're both, it's like either one. And so the comparison is really simple, because it shows up in each one of these. It's something that's the least becomes the greatest. All right? Now, let's pray. I'm going to give you a couple of interpretations that I've heard them before. They don't really match what this is, and I want to show you what I think is actually being said here. But let's pray, and then we'll talk about this least, something that's least, becoming the greatest, all right? Father, I pray you'd help us this morning. I pray that you would guide and direct us as we go through these scriptures. The principle is there, that what your economy and your economy, that the least becomes the greatest, and humility is of great value and all that. And I pray that you guide us through this. I pray or you'd fill the teachers that are teaching in the back with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would help us apply what we're reading here. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, back to Matthew 13. I give you a couple of things that are interpretations that people have interpreted this as. And I'll tell you why I don't think it's these, just to get them out of the way. Because one common interpretation of this is the mustard seed is the gospel. And then it just goes out and fills the whole world, and then, you know, everybody just bows down to Jesus Christ, and so it just becomes the greatest thing on earth. And the problem is, it doesn't say anywhere that the mustard seed is the gospel. It just says the mustard seed is like the kingdom of heaven, or it says the mustard seed is like the kingdom of God. So the gospel is nowhere to be found necessarily in these parables. And secondly, you've probably noticed in the world that the gospel is far more rejected than it is received, and so it'd be tough to make that thing work out. Second way is this: the mustard seed is faith. Now, in another place it says that. Jesus Christ says, have faith like a mustard seed, or if you have faith like a mustard seed. The problem with that is, this isn't faith, this is the kingdom of heaven. That's what he said. The kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of God is like this. And that interpretation usually goes like this. The mustard seed gets planted in the world. It's faith that's misplaced. And then the thing grows into this enormous tree. And the birds are devils and they come live in the tree. That's generally the way that one goes. It becomes this huge monstrosity so that these devils come and live in it. Couple of things that it doesn't work with that interpretation. Number one, the birds, just because they were bad in one parable doesn't mean they're bad in every parable. Just because the seed was something in one parable doesn't mean it's the same thing in this parable. For instance, in the first parable, and this is kind of where this comes from, since the birds were bad in the first parable, they have to be bad in this parable. That's not true, because the seed isn't the same thing in the parable. The seed in this parable is the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And the seed in the first parable is the word of God, so it's different. Does that make sense? They're different things. So to just take from one parable and say, well, it has to be this because it was this before, you'd have to be consistent and say, well, then the seed is the same thing. It's not the same thing. All right, so that one doesn't really work either. You've already understood the parable. The parable is real simple. Something that's the least becomes the greatest. That's the simple. That's probably why there's no explanation for it, because it's such a simple concept. Something that is least becomes the greatest, and in God's economy, that's the way things work. Humility comes before honor. The opposite of that is pride goeth before destruction. Somebody builds themselves up and then pretty soon they fall. Haughty spirit before a great fall. The opposite is honor after humility, or humility comes before honor. So let me show you a few verses that describe this principle, because it's a real simple principle to understand. It's a hard principle to practice. Look over in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 1. About, you know, these parables, and this particular one, there's not going to be, well, we won't go back to it. Matthew 18, verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" That's the same word that's used in the parable. Something that's least is going to become the greatest. Now here's Jesus Christ's answer. Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." You see the principle? Humility before honor. That's the simple principle. The simple principle. He said over there, if you're not converted and become as little children. Remember when Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, remember when he said, except ye be born again, you got to be a child. Except you be born again, you're not even going to see the kingdom of God. You can't see it. So the principle of conversion, the principle of humility, the principle of being humble before honor, that is God's principle, and that is the economics, or I guess you could say the economics of God's kingdom. That's the God's economy. Now, the world's economy is much different. The world's economy is biggest, strongest, fastest, sexiest, most beautiful, all of that. That's the world's economy. That gets the glory, that gets the throne, that gets the influence. That's the world's economy. God's economy is no, it's humility and let God raise you up. Humility before honor. Let me give you another one. Matthew chapter 20. Here's another question the disciples have about who's going to be the greatest. How does this work? Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, "What wilt thou?" She saith unto him, "Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They say unto him, "We are able." And he saith unto them, "Ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give. But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them." So this is the way the world works. Now he's going to describe the way the nations work in comparison to the way his kingdom works. Jesus called them, verse 25, unto him and said, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be among you. Whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." See the contrast? He says, here's the way the world works. Verse 25, the Gentiles, the great ones, they exercise their authority and they become tyrants over the people they just exercise their authority over the people. Jesus Christ says, but if you're going to be great in my kingdom, be a servant. That's how you get honor in my kingdom. Humility before honor. All right, and he makes the comparison between this is the way the world works, but this is the way my kingdom works. In contrast. Here's another one, Matthew 23, over and over, just the same principle. I think it's why he doesn't even explain this when he just says it. It's a simple principle at work. Matthew chapter 23. What you find out is what is great in man's eyes is not great in God's eyes. What man is impressed with, God's not impressed with. Matthew 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitude, Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. They want the power, they get the power, they get in power, and they exercise their power. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works. For they say and do not. They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. That is the definition of exercising authority over people. They got a double standard, one that goes for the people they're over and one that goes for them. Verse 5. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylactery, so their clothing, they make their clothing big and ornate so that you see them and recognize their holiness because of their clothing, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men rabbi, rabbi. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye your brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. All right, you know of a religion that does that, calls priests fathers. That doesn't mean you can't call your dad father. I mean, all through the Bible, there's fathers, and Abraham's a father, and all that kind of stuff. It's dealing with these spiritual priests that lord over the people and demand that they give them this title so that they can be recognized as spiritual for what they wear and how they're addressed. Then he says this, verse 10, neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you, here's how you're going to be greatest among the brethren and greatest in the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Here's how you're going to be the greatest. He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Same principle. So everything you read from verse 1 up to, verse 10, it is all describing the public display of some people who lord over other people. How they wear their clothes, how they want to be addressed by other people, where they want to go, who they're going to shake hands with, how they want to be known in the public, where they're going to be seen, make sure their faces are in the newspaper, all that kind of stuff. And then the Lord says, look, in this kingdom, in my kingdom, that's not how it works. You may get accolades from the world, but if you're not humble, if you don't listen, if you don't put your pride aside, you don't have any place in my kingdom. So there's the contrasts of the way the world works is in complete opposite and enmity with the way God works and the way His kingdom is. The economics of God's kingdom are totally different than, I say economics, I mean, it sound like money. It's just the way things move and the way people operate, the way people make decisions. Here's the underlying factor of the whole thing. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Says this, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, that's important, after the flesh, not many wise men after the flesh, for you see your calling, brethren, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Those are all accolades the world gives. You got the wise in the flesh. This is, I mean, in our world, what would that be? Harvard and Oxford and, you know, the CDC, right? Yeah, all of these are the decision makers. These are the people that know what's going on. Clearly, they know what's going on, apparently. Golly. But this is where the wisdom resides in the world. The Lord said, do you see your calling, brethren? And not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. So here's the humility of it. So God doesn't, it's tough to get somebody who's very influential to become humble and yield to God Almighty. So then he says this, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Here's the point, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's the point. No flesh will glory in his presence. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about your religious clothing. He doesn't care about your job title. There is nothing about our flesh that impresses God. He doesn't care about your bank account. When I say that, I don't want to it to come off as he just doesn't care about it. What I'm saying is none of this stuff impresses God. There's no flesh that's going to glory in his presence. And so he makes the whole thing base. He calls these base things. He calls these things that aren't to be, and he confounds the wise, and it's just the way God works. And ultimately it's God's economy. This is the way he's going to do it. And the reason he's going to do it this way is so that no flesh will ever glory in his presence. He's already cursed the flesh. It's already crucified in Jesus Christ. And so he's not going to exalt the flesh in the way the world exalts the flesh. I mean, the world, here's the world's economy. And I keep using that word because, I mean, it's just the way things are, the way things move and people make decisions, what people are willing to sacrifice for this or that. In the world's economy, speed, strength, size, beauty, bank account, sexuality, all of these things matter to the world. All of these things generate income to the world. All of these things gather influence and gather glory from the world. And the Lord says, "I none of those things, they're not of any value to me. In fact, if you want to have value, if you want to see the things the way I see them, you got to be born again. This flesh is just of no, it's going to die, it's going to be in a grave, it's going to have to be changed. And the point is, there's no flesh that's going to glory in his presence. So the world sees things one way, and it is completely the opposite from the way God handles his business. And his business is the only business, really. Look in Philippians chapter 2. This isn't just something Jesus said, it's something Jesus did. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 5. I tell you what, we'll start in verse 5, and then I'm going to go back and look at verse 3 and 4. Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So this isn't something he just said, you go do this, I'm going to treat people a different way, I'm going to do my thing, you go do your thing. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, because he did all this, now here's the wherefore. The wherefore is the because he did this. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So there's the honor after the humility. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is the description of the King of Kings who lived by the rules of his own kingdom. Humility before honor. And he humbled himself, and you read all of that in these verses. And because he did that, he's highly exalted above every name, and that every soul, every human being will bow before Jesus Christ. Now, we started in verse 5, let this mind be in you. What's the mind? What's the mind? Look in verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. Me, me, me. My way, I do it better. You need to listen to what I'm saying. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other how? Better than themselves. Wow. That's exactly what Jesus Christ said. If you're going to be great in this kingdom, if you're going to have honor in this kingdom, be a servant. If you're going to be exalted in my kingdom, in my economy, humble yourself. Become a servant. Then he says this, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. There you go. That's service. That's humility. That's let me get my pride in check and let me esteem you more than I esteem me. And it's not just let's esteem each other the same way. He said you need to esteem and I need to esteem you better than me. And you esteem each other better than yourselves. He said, you know what, that is the attitude of service. That's the attitude of service. It is really difficult. It's really difficult to have people fighting with each other when they have that mindset. It's really difficult to have people biting and devouring each other when everyone's trying to serve each other. But when it's really difficult or when it's easy to bite and devour? When everybody's got an agenda that they need to let everyone else know that they have, and everyone needs to abide by the agenda that they got. That's just biting and devouring. It's just like dog eat dog. But man, if you have the attitude here of, let me esteem you better than me, it's almost impossible to have fights in that environment. If everybody's a servant, then everybody's a servant. Here's another one. James chapter 4. I think you get the idea. Something least to something greatest. Something small, something big. Something inconsequential to something influential. James chapter 4. It is absolutely true. God looks on the heart. It is absolutely true that the heart, your heart, my heart, determines what God's going to do with you. Determines what He can do. James chapter 4, verse 6. But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. That is, y'all let that sink in a little bit. That in pride, God is actively working against you. God is actively working against that pride. He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God. He will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Here it is. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. There it is. You can be proud, and God will actively work against that. Or you can humble yourself in the sight of God, and He will actively work to lift you up. That's the principle. Over and over, that's the principle. 1 Peter, here's another one, and then I'll go to Proverbs with the thing directly stated. 1 Peter chapter 5. I mean, it's almost in every single book of the Bible. It's all over the place. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. There it is. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed. It's least, and then it grows and it becomes the greatest. It's small and it becomes influential. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Now watch that, because that's not the end of the sentence. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. So part of the humbling process is casting all the things that are wearing you down and burdening you, casting your care on Him and really trusting Him to take care of it. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You and I, we spend our time a lot of times fighting God for things we don't really want, or things that in a few years they'll be rusted, have weeds grown around them, and we labor over that stuff. We labor over it. We have sleepless nights because we can't pay the bills. Credit card stuff's due, man. But I got all this stuff. I got this stuff, and. Stuff that what's going to happen with it? I imagine a lot of the stuff that was very important at one time is probably in the weeds right now. And stuff that was incredibly important at one time, you can't even get the thing to start anymore. But and you see where this is going. We have an agenda. And we want God to get on board with our agenda. God, help me get this. Help me do this. Help me do this. And yeah, it's good. You got to provide for your family and all that kind of stuff. But we are so discontent. And so just, God, I got to have this. And it's like, here's my agenda, God. Get on board with my agenda and help me out with my agenda. The Lord says, look, humble yourself, yield to me, and I'll lift you up. I'll exalt you. The things that you desire, the things that you'll find in probably a couple of years, you don't want them anymore. I mean, we've had lots of garage sales. We got rid of a lot of stuff that was very important at one time. And I know you have too. But I want us to get the idea. We want to push our agenda so often, and it's so distracting. We want God to get on board with my agenda. And God knows your agenda is going to last a year or 2 years, and then, you know, be on to something else. Maybe a week, maybe a month, it'll be on to something else. And so the Lord, overseeing all of this, he says, look, humble yourself in my sight. Just humble yourself. Yield to what I'm trying to do. Serve each other, and I'll lift you up. You'll end up with stuff. Yes, there will be physical blessings. It may not be here. I mean, it may not be in this life. But he'll make sure you get compensated. God's not unjust. He's not unjust. Two more verses in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. Least to greatest, inconsequential to influential, something small becomes something great, something that was in service becomes something that is sovereign, or however you want to put it. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. Couldn't say it any simpler than this. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is what? Humility. That's what comes before honor. And in the world system, you can have honor if you're strong enough, if you're fast enough, if you sing pretty enough, if you look good enough. You can have honor. Problem is that honor has an expiration date on it. And that's why you got to maintain that beauty, or else people aren't going to, you're not going to maintain the honor. You got to maintain that bank account, or you're not going to maintain the honor. You got to maintain whatever got you honor. You got to maintain that, or else you're not going to get the honor. Or people will just get tired of giving you honor and find somebody else that's more interesting. But in God's economy, he says, look, you humble yourself. Honor is before humility. I mean, humility is before honor. You're in Proverbs. Couple chapters over, last verse, and really it's the last verse. This is the last verse. This is it. Proverbs 18, verse 12. Proverbs 18, 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. Now there's the opposite of the whole thing. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. You want to destroy a friendship? You want to destroy a fellowship? You want to destroy your life? Pride. Pride. Just haughty. Just you got to have it. And you know, before we read the second part of this verse, which you've already read before, pride is. I think it may not be hearing God's instruction and saying, you know, to God, just throwing your fist up and saying, I'm not going to do it that way. Pride is as simple as you hear God's instruction and you say, yeah, I think I got a better way. That's pride. That's I'm going to lean on my understanding. Lord, you can have your comments, but I'm going to lean on my understanding. I've heard what you have to say, but I got my own way of doing this. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is what? humility. That's the simple principle. I don't think, like we dealt with the other interpretations, I don't think the seed's not the same, the birds aren't the same. I don't think it's that complicated. It's a simple principle. Something least becomes the greatest. That's God's economy. He said, the kingdom of heaven, it's like this. The kingdom of God, it's like this. Now, I understand he'll say faith as a grain of mustard seed in Matthew 17, but that's not what he said here. He said, in my kingdom, this is how things work. In my kingdom, this is how it works. The world's kingdoms, it doesn't work like this, but in my kingdom, this is how it works. And so, real simple, I think that's why he doesn't have a whole big explanation for it. Just a simple principle. Something that's least becomes the greatest. Jesus Christ exemplified that. He told the disciples, look, you want to have a seat on a throne somewhere? Serve each other. You want to have influence when my kingdom comes? Serve each other. Before honor is humility. Simple principle. Let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, I pray it's been helpful. I thank you for these words. It's a simple principle to hear, but I pray that we could apply it. Help us apply it where we need to apply it. Esteeming each other better than ourselves. Yielding to you. Lord, not giving you our advice, but listening to your advice. I pray that you'd help us with these things. These spiritual truths, they're not racial truths. They don't apply to a group of people. It's spiritual. It has nothing to do with the first birth. It's a spiritual thing. And I pray that you would help us apply them the way they need to be applied in our lives. And I thank you for these words. Lord, this is the only place we can find truth in these words. There's so much deception, and it's growing. I mean, it's just confusion all around us. But I thank you for the truth in the Bible. Thank you that you've preserved your words and given them to us. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.